Welcome to Fishing Without Bait, a lifetime without definitive expectations, where we help people explode into their life through full impact mindfulness. The only entrance requirements are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to try. And if you have a few pixie dust sprinkles of those, you're on your way. So grab a paddle and jump in a canoe and let the adventure begin. My name's Jim Ellermeyer. I'm a behavioral health therapist. And today, I'm joined by my good friend, co-host, and producer of this program, Mr. Mike.
Hello. Good to be back again, Jim. We've had some great, great guests the last couple of months, but now it's just the two of us. Just the two of us. We'll make it together if we try. I think those are the words.
Yeah. Who sang that? Is that Captain Tennille? I don't know.
Will Smith did a version, I think, maybe.
Okay. Well, we're doing it tonight. So the main things that I hear about as a therapist are people who have issues with their work and issues with relationships, Mike.
Mm.
Okay, so if we go back to the beginning of psychotherapy, the father of psychotherapy, which was Sigmund Freud.
Okay.
And just a little aside before we dive into our talk for this evening is that Freud was famous for having people lay on a what?
On a couch.
Lay on a
couch.
Which
is really appropriate since one of the reasons I have everybody sit on the couch, you know, because I feel like this is, I've always felt like the podcasting for me has been a therapy session, and then here we are.
So he had people lay on the couch, and he had free association. Now, he had a chair right beside it, okay? The couch and his chair are still preserved. It's mm-hmm. in a museum. So, but most people don't realize that he had people lay on the couch, and he sat off to the side because Freud had a phobia about people looking at him.
Hmm.
And that's why he did that.
So that wasn't about the methodology. It was about his own.
It was about his own issues.
Huh.
Very interesting. There's always a story behind the story. So one of the things that Freud talked about was love and work are the cornerstones of our humanness. And one of his more famous quotes, Mike, is work and love and work, that's all there is.
Hmm.
What's your thoughts about that? You were telling me earlier about work-life balance just doesn't exist for you.
Yeah, my personal take is that I didn't think it would, so I leaned into the things I love that I would be doing. I always say I do a lot of the stuff I would probably be doing if I wasn't getting paid for it, which is great. Then you find ways to get paid for it. It's kind of my idea.
Right. So there's work and there's different definitions of work, and then there's a job, mm-hmm. and then there's something that you're passionate about. Mike, most people stay in jobs far too long,
mm-hmm.
far too long, and they deeply regret it. So we're talking about love. Now, love just doesn't necessarily mean a romantic love between partners. Love also can be the love that you have for a child, a parent, a brother, a sister, a friend, a pet.
The general relationships.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And when we talk about love, we talk about the difference between pleasure and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Love should give a person joy, not pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
If it's pleasure, then it needs sustained. If it's joy, it does not.
Mm-hmm.
You can love your daughter, whether she's in Beachview or whether she's living in the state of Washington.
Yes.
Okay. That doesn't need sustained. You don't need to see your daughter every day. It's not like eating potato chips. As long as you're eating potato chips, you have pleasure. But as soon as you stop eating the potato chips, then the pleasure is gone.
Absolutely.
So what we're talking about is joy. And what happens sometimes is, Mike, I ask people, I look at them and I said, you've lost your joy. And some people tell me they never had it,
mm-hmm.
but they don't even know what it is. So what are some joyful events in your life? What brings you joy, Mike?
What brings me joy? Doing this. I love doing this. This brings me joy to be able to do this, to have the opportunity to have these conversations and be able to put them out.
I'm really glad to hear that, Mike. Now, love is understanding someone,
mm-hmm.
and it's also listening mm-hmm. to someone. It's also respecting someone.
Mm-hmm.
and treating them as an equal, giving them the benefit of the doubt and the freedom to decide. So at times, I'll tell people that that's the criteria for to be with you. What's the criteria? What's the requirements to be with you? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping that they require that they be understood, that they be listened to, that they be respected, they be treated as an equal, given the benefit of the doubt and the freedom to decide.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that, Mike?
I think it's really important. I think, you know, I that my wife goes away for periods of time. I go away for periods of time. Sometimes I don't see my wife for a month at a time.
Yes.
Right. Cause she'll go out and have to do things with her family on the other end of the country. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. And we're strong enough that that's not a problem. Right.
Yes, you two have a bond, and I've observed that. I've known you two for quite some time now and interacted with you both. And so there's much more involved in love than physical intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's also emotional intimacy, which provides a deeper bond and provides the joy where perhaps physical intimacy can provide pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a big difference, Mike, between men's emotions and women's.
What? Wait, is this the men are from Venus or the women are from Venus, men are from Mars thing?
No, this is just straight talk.
Okay. No interstellarness here.
Actually, there's a lot of, I don't make this stuff up. I could make things up if I wanted to.
That's a different podcast.
There's a lot of evidence that shows that 3-4-year-old young boys are as or more emotional mm-hmm. than females the same age. Mm-hmm. They can cry, they can scream, they can yell, all of those things. But it seems like when they get a little older, they get indoctrinated into what I call the men's club.
It becomes what they expect a man to be versus what is emotionally happening, correct?
They seem to be taught what a man's expected to be.
Yes.
And you know, little boys, if they cry in the 8th or 9th grade, they're subject to a lot of bullying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just because they can show their emotions. And Mike, I've always thought that the only acceptable emotion that a man can show, especially with his friends, is anger.
Right, right. It's almost expected, isn't it? It's almost expected that you lash out or something like that. It's what makes your friends. They kind of cheer it on sometimes, right?
Well, when men get together, for whatever purpose, generally it's not to talk about deeper issues. Mm-hmm. It's about complain,
mm-hmm.
complain about work, complain about relationships.
And is this just a male thing, this complaining?
No, no. Our friend Marcus Aurelius, a Stoic God King, who was one of our favorites, often said that never, ever complain.
Mm-hmm.
Never complain, because it robs you of your joy. It's an absolute waste of your time, and all it does is alienate people from you.
This is, I've seen that. I've seen that. We're talking about, you know, we've had so many good nights of doing sessions here in the studio with podcasting or something else or shows we've done and things. And it seems like there's just that circle of people that have to talk forever, that have to tell me about everything that's going wrong in the business and life. And you leave a very cool thing and you walk out and say, why do I feel like crap? And they just... I think we've talked about energy vampires before.
Yes.
And it's noticeable. And I've noticed other people saying hey, this person is always negative, and it kind of takes, and we don't want them around anymore, you know, or something like that. Like a version of that with several people in circles. And it's just, I'm starting to notice it. And it's always nice to see that people are actively not allowing that, you know, in certain cases, or trying to avoid that because they want a good vibe around this project.
The simplest explanation of that I can explain is plant flowers and pull weeds.
Mm-hmm.
The negative people in your life, walk away from them.
Yes. Yes.
You go, we build, go forward in our lives from positions of strength, not negativity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's go back around to the people complaining. You know, you're talking about this is very ingrained in our social, right?
For some groups, it's expected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we had our podcast a few weeks ago about filtered reality, we talked about now people make a profession out of looking to be offended.
Absolutely. That's social media, it seems. So let me tell you one thing I've been doing, because I feel like I've been part of this certain circle that certain things get brought up that I don't want to hear about anymore. I just plain don't want to hear about certain things anymore, right? That somebody, it seems like the good pastime is to complain about how they've been wronged about something, right? And when it happens, and I don't know if it's just an emotional trigger or something, but I just decide, I get up and walk away. I leave the room, you know, and says, you know, I do not have to sit here and be subjected to this. You know, I do not have to be a part of this. I don't want to be drawn into it, you know, to have that, especially when it's something that is supposed to be a positive function.
Negative energy is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a disease.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch it. And I don't think what most people understand is you're judged by the company you keep.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're hanging around these negative individuals who are constantly complaining, what do others think of you?
Mm-hmm. And it's by choice. So what do you do with, because it feels like, you know, it feels like in workspaces where you cannot escape these people. And all people are negative, are talking about the boss or the coworker or what happened to the, you know, what happened to the raises at Christmas or something like that, right? It seems like that is like a constant thing when you're in those environments that you don't get to pick who you're around. How do you deal with that kind of situation?
Well, what you do is you attempt to buffer those conversations. Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I often talk about Dr. Safdar Chaudhry, who I worked with for a number of years, and you did also.
Yes, and we actually have been putting a lot of these educational grand rounds from that period, and you see a lot of Dr. Chaudhry in there and early with you, with the PA students and everything too, so if people want to experience those conversations we experienced back in the day, go check those out on our YouTube channel for sure.
Yes, so if someone would come in and start to talk about another person or complain about them, Dr. Chaudhry would look around and says, I don't see them here.
Mm-hmm.
When they're here, you can voice your concerns. Mm-hmm. But until then, I will not entertain any of these conversations. Mm-hmm. You just shut them down.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can. I always tell people. I say, look around the room, and if the person will say, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm looking for that person. You're talking about them."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When they come here, then you can talk about it. But until then, I'd prefer that we discuss another subject.
Absolutely.
It's unfair to the other person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and confronting. I've been trying to, there's some people that have been bothering me with their actions for a while now. And I'm trying to be upfront. Listen, you need to do this. You don't know what this looks like. You know, I can't keep cleaning up after you.
Well, when somebody says something offensive or mm-hmm. somebody makes a derogatory comment about another person, unless you stand up to that, then you're complicit.
Yeah, that is true too. That is true. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you just want to put your head down and get the work done too. And you also do not want to get drawn into it.
Well, you don't have to. You can hold your hand up. And I often have people say, hold their hand up and say, I don't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Or
I've done exactly this.
Yeah.
Says this is none of my business. None of my business is between you and that person. Yep.
Yes. And sometimes you just say, people, I'll be back when this conversation's over.
And I don't want to color my opinion because I may have to work with that person next week, you know? And I don't want to hear how you have to, you know, I'm the one that has to work with that person next week. You don't necessarily. You know,
well, that's one of the reasons that professional athletes never make derogatory comments about other teams, other coaches, or other players, because mm-hmm. they may be working with those people soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need to explain that to pro wrestlers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But you know what? And at a certain point, when certain individuals that seem to have all the talent in the world don't find themselves in the bigger positions, you have to start to wonder why. And a lot of times it is those conversations, those attitudes backstage. You know, I've had those where it's just like, why so-and-so like just got ejected from this company? It seems like they were doing great. I was like, yeah, well, probably they rubbed somebody the wrong way that could say something about it, you know, and now they're not around anymore.
Well, one can have the greatest production technical skills, but it's the personality when it doesn't fit, when it's not a good fit for the team.
Yep, absolutely. And that goes with work teams too.
Well, when we're working together with a team, we have to choose them very carefully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And make sure that we pay attention. When there's a leader, you have to listen to the leader.
Yep.
And don't complain about the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't happy with the leader, then leave.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So I think that is a good point. We are going to continue this conversation, of course. And we want people to, again, support us on Patreon, support us at fishingoutwithoutbait.com, all of our social media. We are now on Blue Sky, by the way. Brand new social media. If you want a clean slate, if Twitter bothers you, but you don't want to leave social media, I've always said about mindful social media right on this show, right?
Yes.
Clean out the crud. Clean out the closet, if you will. And if you want a fresh start, that might be the way to do. Join us without bait over on Blue Sky. It's just like Twitter, but without a lot of the craziness right now. So brand new. Yeah.
Excellent.
So that's one of the ways you can communicate with us. And of course, we have a lot of videos on so many platforms that you can get little tidbits. We try to get them out every day as much as we can of points of this show to help. It's great resurfacing. Shout out to Dave Potter. It's helping resurface some of this content from like a year ago. I've been watching the clips of our conversation with the Jagoffs, yourjagoff.com, and there's such great things that still hold up, and they're doing such great things over there too. So, you know,
our bits are timeless.
Yes, our bits are timeless. So you want to send them out on a good note,
yes,
there, Jim?
Yes, absolutely. At the end of every podcast, we offer a free prescription: fruits, nuts, and vegetables. Unplug your television and take up fishing. And for a truly mindful experience, we suggest that you fish without bait. Do a kindness for yourself and do a kindness for another. Forgive yourself and forgive another. Till all are free, none are free. If we're all not God's children, none of us are. Namaste, my friends. Please be good to yourself.
If you're interested in flying the colors of fishing without bait, click the shop icon on our website. We have clothing, mugs, cell phone cases, and so much more. Show the world that you fish without bait. This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com.